I just absolutely love seeing our student leaders flourish, especially our young Black man. And on this next episode, we're going to be speaking to the Morehouse College 2019 through 2020 SGA President and the SGA Vice President, Mr. Trey Bowers and Alex Cherry. So they're going to be telling us all about what it's like being a student leader and also some things that they've implemented during their campaign and just all about the life as a Morehouse College student and some things that they plan on doing post-graduation. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, hey, hey. What up, y'all? This your girl, Adrena Martin, host of the Historically Black Sense the Culture Effect podcast show, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm a 2012 graduate of the illustrious Tuskegee University and also a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and I created Historically Black Sense a few years ago, and it's a media platform dedicated to the culture of HBCUs, Black Greek life, and positive Black culture thrown in as well. Follow us on Instagram at Historically Black Sense, and you can also visit us online at www.hbcusense.com. So basically what this podcast is all about is we're going to be interviewing HBCU alumni, different Greek members, and also current students as well about the effect that their HBCU and their organization has had on their lives. So we're going to be having some great conversations, going to be some raw, open, and honest conversations, some much-needed conversations specifically, and some great guests as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, well, I'm John Bowers, a senior economics major, political science minor from Dallas, Texas, and I do once again serve as the SGA president at Morehouse College.
And my name is Alexander Cherry. I am also a graduating senior marketing major from Woodbridge, Virginia, currently serving as the SGA vice president.
Okay, very good, very good. And so you all on the student side, I graduated in 2012, so I feel a little bit old, but it's okay. So two different sides of the HBCU life here. So we're going to be talking all things HBCU life and even your plans after that. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So becoming the SGA president, what was that experience like for you? And then did you just, because you're graduating, so you started in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So
yes, ma'am.
What's that experience been like for you in the leadership position?
So I guess like going through your whole question, just like what the experience was like getting to be elected. Mm-hmm. Here at Morehouse, I mean, we take elections very seriously. It's almost like you're running for a very, very real life office that's not just ingrained in Morehouse, because like when we think about it, especially the president, like when America wants to go to see what a Black man is thinking about, they go to Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So being the SGA president and the spokesperson for the school is a very, like, very, very serious position. Like, you're the highest leadership position on campus. That's what you do. You represent all the students.
Mm-hmm.
And my election cycle in particular, we had, so you know how like in real life elections you have runoffs kind of at
mm-hmm.
the end?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get voted on three times, which is very, very unregular.
Mm-hmm.
I had to win three different polls back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from literally my campaign started way before that, but on paper it started March 4th to April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a grind for about nearly a month.
Now to kind of back up a little bit, why did you have to get elected so many times? Was it just specific to you and your campaign?
That was really just specific to like how my election cycle panned out.
Okay.
That doesn't happen all the time. Usually it's pretty much a primary vote, secondary mm-hmm. vote if there's a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
But different things, people trying to go different ways and like do things that aren't necessarily moral in a sense, had
mm-hmm.
to recount the vote type of thing.
Okay.
So that's what happened with my case.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, in being in this position, I feel like it's grown me. Like here at Morehouse, we like to say like Mother Morehouse herself, the school,
mm-hmm.
holds a crown over our heads for us to grow into
mm-hmm.
before when we graduate to become Morehouse men.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that this whole process has grown me tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about things on a holistic standpoint, thinking about the school, but also the school as a business, because I also sit on the board of trustees, being the president of student government.
Okay.
So it's just, it's shown me and given me so many different viewpoints and perspectives of students at Morehouse, also as administrators of Morehouse, like, because I also serve as a student administrator of the college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's given me very, very tremendous perspectives, but also friendships. I mean, I can also let you talk to my vice president, Alex, because
mm-hmm.
I know he's been one of my greatest friends. We've been working together for
mm-hmm.
now 3 years.
Wow.
But this experience, I believe, even the before the experience, getting to here, campaigning, really just being together became a confidant and a friend throughout the fight and the process.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's hear from you, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, so my story was a little bit different. I never really saw myself really taking on this role. I previously served as the junior class president. I believe that I did an amazing job at what I did, if you spoke to my peers, but, you know, I saw kind of a need for leadership, not only from a class perspective, but for the entire student body perspective. And so that's when the idea came in. You know, somebody asked me one day in November, you know, like, do you want to run for VP? It really wasn't a thought, but after that, you know, I kind of took some time back to myself. And really, really thought about the pros and cons, and in the end, the pros outweighed the cons. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, you know, honestly, I'll run for it. You know, what happens, happens. But on the campaign trail, you know, I made it known that to the student body that, you know, I wanted to be here for them, you know, and I wanted to be able to serve in this position. And, you know, so thankfully that I won this title, but, you know, I see it as more as a title, you know, for me and John, you know, we see it as a partnership, you know, we see it as, you know, a place for us to grow, not only together, but in a space where, you know, we can grow with the student body. And, you know, I think that we've been able to produce a lot of good work at the school this entire year. So, you know, now that we're in, you know, a new election cycle, it's kind of crazy. You know, it's for us, it's kind of like sitting back and really thinking about what has happened for us this year, you know, the good, the bad, you know, what we could have improved on. But honestly, you know, I honestly wouldn't have wanted to serve with anybody else like Trey, because, you know, like he said, you know, he's one of my best friends. You know, we've talked about like our plans, you know, together as friends, you know, after college. You know, like, this is my brother for life. So, you know, I'm very thankful to have gone through this journey with him and serving in this role.
And then, like, just touching on one more thing that, like, Alex said, just the new election cycle that we're currently in. Like, I feel like he said, we are taking a step back, but it also, you look forward, because it's like this next young man, whoever it may be, like, for both of our positions, will either be a part of our legacy and, like, continue the stuff that we've been able to do, or if people aren't elected, like, or whoever is elected, may go a completely different way. So, I mean, that's just the thing that, like, I feel like politicians and even SJ officials like ourselves deal with, because it's like, okay, yeah, like, you start seeing certain people distance themselves from you because now they're about to start running for office and things of that sort. Yeah. But I do feel like we are looking a lot into the future and legacy of, like, what will be Morehouse SGA in the year to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know, Morehouse is, I mean, it's worldwide known. Everybody knows Morehouse, School for Men, Morehouse, one of the top HBCUs. So throughout your 10 years, SGA president and vice SGA, what are some programs or some changes that you all have implemented?
Like, I was thinking about this earlier today. It's actually been quite a bit. There's been a large number. So the one thing that I ran on, one of the things I ran on was mental health awareness. So one of our first initiatives that really, really kicked off and, like, spun the year was Being Black Is Not a Trend. Mm-hmm. So within that, we went around all the freshman halls here on campus, and we spoke to every freshman student in their lobby. Had a group of them come out, and we had a different question each day, like, pertaining to what it means to be a black man in America. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, we had a celebration, kind of a cookout, basically, in the warmer months, and we gave away t-shirts, like, Being Black Is Not a Trend, just to remind people. Mm-hmm. And that's that's gone into phase two now. Like, we have a Brother to Brother, which is part of that same series, that, like, and what we love to see is, like, when we're not the ones initiating anymore, like, it's put in stone, and, like, it's just carried on. Mm-hmm. So, like, the school is carrying that on with Dean Southern. He's doing Brother to Brother every month now on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. After the week that we did, as well as it's touching Cherry's work in the Senate, because he's the president of the Senate, mm-hmm. that whole other side of the student government. Mm-hmm. And a senator wrote that it is every week, that every year the SJ will have a mental health week, which is what we established with that initiative. So, like, that's carrying on in itself. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I could say that I personally started when I was freshly elected, was the refurbishment of our on-campus library. Douglas Hall now has, it went from being fashioned back in the 1960s, I would say, to, like, now being completely in the year 2020.
Absolutely.
It has touchscreen chalkboards, advanced technology in there.
Apple computers.
Mac desktops, new printers, new all that kind of stuff. And I was just able to cut the ribbon on that building last week, having the grand opening and marking its opening. And then in that same week, especially on that same day, we opened up the new barbecue restaurant for students to be able to eat at. So that they'll be able to not have a new food option that's not just just so they're not having Chick-fil-A and Witch, now they have a new barbecue restaurant. We still waiting for it to be named because like we want the students to be in a, like invested in it. Like you named it, so like enjoy it, have it while it lasts.
So it's a campus, it's not like a franchise, it's actually like
It's owned by Morehouse. It's a Morehouse owned barbecue restaurant, and that is the beautiful, that's the beautiful thing about it, because all the money's going back to us, so we are in fact helping our school out by bringing money back into it. And then the last thing that I'll say, as of recent, the last thing that I'll say, basically last week was Founders Week, like we touched on before the interview. And that whole week we put on programs to build a scholarship, a student book voucher scholarship, to go back to students fall 2020. That amount currently sits at $788 in that 1 week. And now we're looking forward to awarding that later in April, but I'll let Cherry speak on more work that we have done.
Yeah, I mean, so that pretty much touches the gist of what we've done. You know, other things have really revolved around the Morehouse Academic Scholarship Policy. We've kind of implemented a way for there to be more of an oversight, you know, for students to be able to have like that little comfortability. So say they fall, so the current policy is you have to maintain a 3.0 to maintain the Morehouse Academic Scholarship Policy. So we've kind of put in place, with the help of President Thomas, a system to where if they fall under that by maybe about like a 2.7, 2.8, you know, then they wouldn't just automatically, that scholarship wouldn't automatically get removed. So that's something that we're still currently in the works. You know, it's not definite, but that's something that we've been working on to secure. So that's probably our biggest thing. And for the Senate, you know, we actually just revamped our entire SGA constitution, which affects the entire student body. You know, we've been able to implement a few things in there from a more SGA being more of an overseer for all the organizations on campus, as well as a few GPA changes. So the past GPA for SGA to serve was a 2.78, but we're trying to move into a more progressive space and thinking about leadership as well as academics at the same time. So as of now, it's now a 2.8, but next year it'll be a 2.9, and then once it sits at a 3.0, after this generation of Morehouse students is gone and a new one is in, that's when that 3.0 will be in place. So then it'll be a 3.0 to serve. So you're talking about academics, but you're also talking about quality leadership as well.
And then, like, I would like to touch, like, that is all, those are all things that we've done for our student body, but as a Morehouse Student Government Association, like, the tradition of our organization, we like to hold ourselves high and, like, focusing on real world issues. And this year, like, especially with the upcoming election, we have held a voter registration drive, registering 120 new Georgia state voters, like all the new freshmen that are currently in Georgia for the first time, are registered to vote here. And then we also, like myself being appointed on the Mayor's Council, we have done work for the Census 2020, which is a month away from being programmed. So like just things that will continue to build Morehouse students on a national, global perspective, not just being focused on Morehouse. Like yes, Morehouse is where we're from and made us into the people that we are today, but we do realize that the United States needs our voice, and like we are here to continue the legacy and keep pushing forward within that aspect.
I like that. You have done a lot. And I want to hit on something, which is actually going to be one of my questions. Talk about mental health. So, and especially as men in all men school, how do you feel like HBCUs, or even before you all's time in leadership, do you all feel like being at an HBCU, was the environment cultivating for men to talk about mental health, or do you feel like...
I feel like for black men, it gives us more of a safe space. You know, I'm not taking credit away from anybody that decides to go to any PWI, but I think what HBCUs are able to do is cultivate black minds. And for us, I think it allows us to tap in more with our feelings and be a little bit more vulnerable, as, you know, to say, you know, we went to a PWI with about, on average, PWIs have maybe, what, like 20,000 students? 20,000? Yeah, and on a campus like this, we only have 2,000. So it's very much more intimate, and so that way you know you have more resources for you to allocate that can help you as opposed to, say, a larger institution. And I think that's what the beauty of HBCUs does, is that intimacy that kind of brings here, and for us to be able to get the help that we need on that standpoint.
And I mean, I feel like, especially like even in my personal story, like going to a high school where it was a predominantly white environment, I mean, like even in my intercultural communications class, like there's developments to being like a minority in America. Like at one point you don't think you're a minority, like you when you're growing up you just think everything is normal. But then you get to that point where you start to separate from it and realize, and I feel like if I wasn't at Morehouse particularly, but also just at HBCU in general, like Alex said, I don't think I would have this comfortable space to be able to truly be like, believe myself and be this confident as a black man, because I know just based on the stereotypical things of men, like we're said to be insular, not really talk about our feelings, keep our emotions inside. But that's the one thing where it's like, I can look at Alex, I can look at my chief of staff, my chief operating officer, people, just even friends, but we're all here, we're all male, and we're all African American. So like that comforts you in a sense where it's like, I'm in class, but I'm not having to deal with differences. Like I'm not having to deal with all that. It's all based for me trying to enrich people like me that look like me. So I do feel like that's what HBCUs do for a mental health aspect. Because if you don't have that constant pressure of like, what does white America feel like is going to, what is white America doing to hurt me in a space? Like, that's why I feel like these 4 years have been beautiful to watch people grow, because it's like you're in a space, in a place where nobody is against you, but the competition that you do find is only making you better and not hurting you at the end of the day.
I like, and I definitely think, especially more recently, mental health is more talked about. Even as music artists, they're talking about it, and even, you know, in different programs. And I definitely like the mental health week. That's dope. And I wish more HBCUs would implement it. I mean, even just schools in general would implement, because it's definitely something that's needs to be talked about more. So talking about leadership a little bit more, what are some misconceptions that people have with being a student leader on campus?
Oof, it's a lot. it's a lot. You know, I think people forget that we're human also, you know, and that we're not perfect. You know, one thing that I've really learned about this, you know, being in this role, is that you have to be able to find that balance. You have to be able to find that work balance, but also be able to find that balance to where you're giving yourself ample time to be free. But a difficulty of being in this role is kind of keeping up this persona, you know. And I think for me, you know, it's really been about being authentic. You know, I never wanted to be in this position for any other reason than to serve the students, you know, and so it's very important for myself to really get myself out into the student body, you know, not change anything. You know, the way that I was before the campaign is the same exact way that I am now. You know, I feel like that this role has just been able to elevate, you know, my stance, and for me to get my points out a little bit more, you know, but I think that's really the difficult thing, is trying to keep up that perfect persona that, you know, doesn't have to be shared.
Right.
For me, I think, so like, Alex and I definitely have different stories as far as that, because like before Alex studied, he was the junior class president beforehand, but I was the treasurer of the Student Government Association beforehand. So like at Morehouse, that is the top three positions we have are president, vice president, and treasurer. So like those three people are, you're gonna see all the time. So this is like my second year being the focal point in the view of like all the students. Now obviously it's the higher position, but I feel like in my junior year, like what you learn is like everything that you do is being watched. Like there is nothing that your Instagram, your Twitter, like Facebook,
it's like celebrities.
Yeah, like who, who you date, who, anything, any of that stuff is always going to be watched and critiqued by anybody, because it's like, first of all, they look up to you. Like there's that point, but then also there's people that are not gonna want to like you just because you try to be the leader of everybody.
Right.
So I do feel like that's one of the things about being a student leader, especially at Morehouse, like. Being a student leader at Morehouse, especially the president and vice president, like you also are personalities at Spelman and Clark. So it's like you have two other schools that are seeing you in this light, and like they are seeing you in this spotlight, in the forefront of everything. And like one of the conversations we always have as student leaders is just like, how do we continue to bring our authentic selves when it's like some things that you want to say you can't say? Like, you can't lash out on, you can't lash out and just do anything outlandish on Twitter. You can't do all that kind of stuff, because at the end of the day, you do work for the school in a way. Like, if people are seeing you, some students will come to Morehouse for you. Like, some some parents will send their students here because they heard you speak, heard you say something that was like, this young man is doing that, and I want my son to be like him. So it's just like, that is something that I feel like is a misconception. Like how Cherry said, like, we're definitely still human. Like, I'm somebody's boyfriend. Cherry's somebody's son. Like, it's just things that, like, don't go away just because we're student leaders. Right. And, like, I also forget, like, some people forget that we are students too. Because, like, student leadership, like, the first word is student. Like, I'm a class peer, but I feel like some of the administrators do forget that we're students.
Right.
Like, when we have some meetings that pop up and I'm in a class, it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you have class.
Right.
So that, I feel like, is a misconception, too, because, like, students, they see us doing all this stuff, being in the front forefront. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like the time that we're doing that, we could be doing something else. That could be pushing us, the opportunity cost in it all. Like, we could be doing this, putting something toward our degree, but we have to, like, own up to our responsibilities and go here and do this.
Right.
So it just puts all the time management, all these different, like, qualities, meeting deadlines, all in perspective. Because it's like, we're getting prepared for post-graduation and, like, being able to go to a corporation wherever we go and meet these deadlines. So I do feel like Cherry and I are being very, very well trained for everything in that environment. But that is definitely a misconception, because it's like, yeah, like, it's a great thing. It's fun. Like, I'm happy I did it. It was a great learning experience, a great growing up experience. However, I definitely feel like people don't truly realize that the role is more than just a role. Like, these positions are 24 hours, 7 days a week. It becomes your personality,
your life,
your lifestyle. Like, it's, you are the president. And, like, I feel even with the president of the United States, like, reflecting on President's Day yesterday with President Obama and things of that sort, these people become the role. Like, the title means nothing without the person that upholds it. So it's like, if you elect a bad person to be president, vice president, then you are going to feel like you're president and vice president, or government is horrible. So, like, that is why, like, it's very, very critical we vote in any election. Like, that's the,
even I want to hit on that balance. Like, how do y'all balance, like, you, somebody's boyfriend and somebody, you know?
I think reflecting on all the SGAs that I've been a part of, and, like, thinking on my own, I definitely feel like the only reason that we're able to do any of this balancing is because it's not all on one person. Like, we've definitely had a core group of people that are always there. Like, when you need something, they'll answer. They won't leave you high and dry. Like, Alex has never left me high and dry. Like, if I need him to do something, like, he's gonna be there. So, like, when I'm going out of town this week, so he's head honcho for about 3 days. So it's just stuff like that. Like, if I realized that I couldn't go anywhere, then that stress piles on you, because it's like, nobody else is doing anything.
Right.
So I'm the only one that has to uplift and, like, hold these three letters of SGA down. Like, if I don't do it, nobody else is. And that's not the operation that we have going on. Like, just off the chemistry and the work and the partnership and the friendship that we have, we definitely have established, like, who is there, like, the core 10 or 8 of us that we know will get something done when we need to. And then also, like, just, like, another part, I guess, like, Cherry and I, we definitely have thrown parties for the student body, like, making our own fun type of thing. So I feel like that plays into it too, because this year has been weird. Like, it's been a lot of state of, like, where is that spark of entertainment gonna come from? Like, at the beginning of the year especially, like, where is it gonna come from? We're seniors now. Like, who's gonna be those people that keep the engagement going? And we said, why not us? So we do throw parties with a few other people, and that has kept definitely the environment lively, I will say. Like, when, like, I mean, I'll let Cherry expound upon that balance, but definitely, like, the teamwork allows me to spend time with my girlfriend, allows me to spend time with my little sister, allows me to be able to say that I'm going to graduate on May 17th, because I don't have to worry about this full-time job that is SGA president all the time.
Right.
I can take that step back and be like, I need to do my homework. Like, I can't do this right now.
I mean that really much is what it is. You know, I think for us to be able to have fun too, it has really been amazing. You know, I think that as student leaders, you have to be able to allow yourself to have that fun. You know, so like Trey was saying, you know, we do throw parties every once in a while, you know, with our friends. But, you know, it's always a good time, and I think that kind of alleviates some of the stress that comes from, you know, it gives us a little bit of time to kind of, like, take a step back because, you know, for us, it's like we get the work done on campus, so why not have this fun? You know, it'd be different if we were just, you know, having this fun side and not doing any work on campus, but that's not the, that's not what it is. So, you know, I feel like it's kind of like a reward in a sense for us, you know, so that, it's really good to
do that. And I feel like especially the part about us going to parties, because I know I've been come up to and talked about that specifically, even going to them by, like just going to them, let alone throwing them. Clark's SGA vice president and some other officers and that, they're like, well, I feel comfortable going to parties now, like being an SGA officer because y'all do it. So it's just like, deleting that notion that you can't be have fun, like
you mean like people didn't think that because you're leaders you couldn't
exactly
you can't let it. Some people just feel like in our environment because it's considered to be very very serious
and a social media that driven
you,
age.
That you just can't let your personality shine through, and like Cherry and I have done exactly that, like continue to be unorthodox in that approach, and hopefully that starts a new trend with presidents and vice presidents to come because it is a serious role, but when you're in the environment to be serious, but when you can like smile, laugh a little, like you're a 21-20 year old man, like you're a kid, like you have the rest of your life to look forward to, like don't miss out on opportunities to have fun, because as soon as you graduate, like we're going to be in real life situations. Like I know I already have a job offer, so it's just like stuff like that that we're going into, as well as Cherry, like we're going into those places. And these are like the last 89 days today until we graduate.
Enjoy it. I would definitely say that, yes. Yeah. I know, looking back now, I'm like, man, if I can just get 1 month in undergrad again, just away from the real world and responsibilities. So definitely enjoy your time here. Now, what does being a Morehouse man mean to you all?
So being a Morehouse man, like, that's something that we don't even know what that really means yet. Because like currently we're men of Morehouse, like we don't know what like life after May 17th looks like.
So men of Morehouse is like the students, and then the Morehouse man is
the graduate.
So like we're currently being molded to reach that status, but what we do see in our alum and like people that have gone before us, even mentors, are just men, Renaissance men, who really feel like it is their obligation and duty to like really change and make a mark in the world for good and for better outcomes. Just living in justice and fairness and being steadfast, honest, true. Like that's really what being a Morehouse man is. Like being of high regard and higher integrity. Like don't cut any corners, don't take any shortcuts, because that's not what we were made to do. But we were made to do was to change and be progressive and get the job done. So that's what I feel like being a Morehouse man is.
I like that. I mean, and I didn't know the difference. I mean, you just see it on social media, it's like Morehouse man. So that's interesting. For those of you all listening, especially incoming freshmen as well, I saw a video online. Someone actually sent it to our page. It was a guy, he was, it was a group of incoming students at Morehouse.
And was it recent?
And he was doing like it was like a song or something he was doing. Is that something you all typically do with all the incoming freshmen?
I think they were talking about the first lock-in that happened.
That video's been going viral. I haven't watched it, but it's been going viral.
I haven't personally watched it yet, but I do know, because during the lock-in, that was the first time Morehouse ever had a lock-in.
That's for those of you who don't know, what takes place on the lock-in?
So, like, the lock-in is definitely not run by Cherry and I, but it is run by
student ambassadors,
which are really our tour guides that lead students around during their tours when they get here. And that whole admissions office. So it's basically when the admitted students weekend. So when the new students that aren't freshmen yet come visit Morehouse, they are able to spend the night and truly see a campus life atmosphere from the night perspective, as well as the next day when they move forward into the Friday that they'll be on campus. But I will say during that moment, it was very very sentimental for Cherry and I, because we were actually there that night. We got to meet them, but like they were actually watching us sing the hymn, because that was the night before Founders Day. That was February 13th. It was around midnight, and we have had the pleasure of carrying on the legacy of the midnight hymn, like our New Year's Eve ball drop into our Founders Day, marking that it is now 153 years of Morehouse College existence here in the world. So we all get together as soon as midnight hits. We ring the bell that we can show you, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We ring the bell and we just start singing our hymn. Mm-hmm. All the people there locked up in arms around our sixth president, Benjamin Elijah Mays. So they, those freshmen were sitting there watching that. Mm-hmm. And that video happened after that moment. So like seeing like what we could do to be any type of inspiration and light for that moment, for that video to be this viral is very, it's beautiful to me. I mean, I don't know how Cherry feels about it, but like that was really what was going on that day, that night on February 13th.
Wow. So now I was watching, I'm like, wow, this is powerful. It was like all these young black men and excited to be a part of the Morehouse family. So that's dope. That's dope. So let's talk, even once you all graduate, what are some of y'all's plans? You all want to be politicians in the real world?
Well, you know, I can't say anything's official
yet. I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna do currently, something. I'm currently still, you know, seeking out certain companies and in the process of figuring out placement. So, you know, I don't want to jinx it. You know, but there's one company in particular that I'm very excited to kind of see myself working for. But until I sign any papers, I don't want to jinx it, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So, you know, like here's talking about signing papers. I already signed my life away for the next 2 years. I'll be working for JP Morgan Chase.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. In Dallas, Texas, for the next 2 years. Dallas, Texas is actually my home.
Like, okay.
So it's interesting, just like kind of how like God worked my way. Give me a break from home, and now I'm going back to see like what change I'll be able to make down there. But after college, I mean, I kind of like have thought about it. So working for JP Morgan, contract right now, 2 years, then I'll be up for promotion, basically type of thing. But after that, JP Morgan also in my offer, they were allowing me to go back to grad school and for them to pay for it. So I do plan to pursue my MBA and my JD in the near future.
Okay.
And my mother is a state representative back at home, so I will like hope definitely be putting my foot into the political world one day. I don't know how far
out. Your words in your family.
Yeah, I don't know how far I'll go. I mean, I know when I was as little as sixth grade, I always told my friends I want to be president of the United States. So if we're in that moment one day and I'm up on the DNC national stage, well then there I am. But yeah. I mean, hey, like I'm just gonna give it my best shot and see where I go from there.
Okay. So from Texas, then where are you from?
Virginia.
Okay, so what led you all to Morehouse?
Zaga, yeah. So I didn't know about Morehouse until my junior year of high school, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, my family originates from down here in Henry County, about 40 minutes from Atlanta. And so, you know, it was just a conversation I was having with my aunt. And, you know, she was telling me, you know, you should look at Morehouse since you're starting to look at colleges. You know, I'm like, what's Morehouse? And so they told me, you know, just about Morehouse, that, you know, Martin Luther King went here, Samuel Jackson, you know, and told me that it's a all-male institution. Mm-hmm. You know, the first notion I got when I heard all-male was, why would I want to go to an all-male institution? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a lot of people's perception when they first hear about Morehouse. And so, you know, I read about Morehouse, you know, I looked on the website, you know, saw the importance that they were trying to spiel to me, you know, so I scheduled a tour, you know, I said, why not, it wouldn't hurt. You know, I learned about Spelman, I learned about Clark Atlanta through it, and so I was like, oh, okay, cool, you know, so they tell you before you come here, like, you know, oh, like, you got Spelman across the street. Mm-hmm. Spelman's not across the street. Spelman is literally conjoined with Morehouse, basically. Our campuses are practically the same, as well as Clark Atlanta. It's all like one big circle, the AUC, the Atlanta University Center.
You all take classes.
Yes, okay. Yes. And that's the beauty of it. You know, we're in an all-male environment, but it's not an all-male campus. You know, I kind of got here, I went on my tour, you know, I fell in love with the how small the campus was. You know, at first I was like, you know, I wanted to go to a big university back home, a James Madison or a Virginia Commonwealth University, ODU. But something about Morehouse, I think I was getting hit with the mystique that everybody talks about on my tour, you know, and something was just telling me that this is the place for me, you know. I spoke with a few professors, I spoke with a few students at the time, and, you know, it really was like, okay, I can really see myself, you know, doing some things here. So Morehouse became my number one. After that, you know, I applied, and I was actually at work at Abercrombie and Fitch, making $7.25 when I got the email that I had gotten in. You know, it was probably one of the best days of my life. You know, and I tell myself all the time, you know, being 89 days from graduation, that if I could do this all over again, go through the entire college process again, I'd pick Morehouse 10 times out of 10, honestly.
I guess my story is a little different. My mother is a Spelman graduate. She graduated 1989, class 89.
Okay.
So when I was in third grade, my mom told me, yeah, like, you're going to Morehouse.
Oh.
Granted, like, I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. Like Cherry just said, it was an all-boys school. And I was like, I really, in that young, you're like, okay, now I know I like girls for the, like, really,
yeah.
I know I like girls.
So it's kind of
like, no, like, I'm not doing that. Like, I want to be around girls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
From third grade on, I was not even worried about Morehouse. I was definitely going to be attending the University of Texas at Austin, at home in my state capital of Austin, Texas. And then a Morehouse man came into my life when I was a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Xavier Phelps, he graduated class of 2013. Mm-hmm. And he really just like took me under his wing and just like started talking to me. And really, like, Morehouse was the only HBCU I applied to, like, point blank period. Like, this was the only HBCU I applied to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of him, he was just like sitting me down, like, you need to apply.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Brian, like, I'll apply.
And
I submitted my application, and then it didn't really hit me until I was during my senior year of high school. It was winter break. I'd already applied to all my schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just waiting to hear back. And I was going to visit my late grandmother, who's passed away
mm-hmm.
now. And basically a nurse who was a black woman, she had a black son, he went to Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to visit her son, and he has a white girlfriend. And the white girlfriend says, you should be proud of your son, he's the president of the minorities. And, you know, I'm just sitting there, I see my mom and dad's reaction to it, and I was just like, I see my mom's and dad's reaction to it, and I see, like, the nurse, how she's saying, like, this white woman is telling me that I should be proud of my son, like, just the frustration that she had on her face. And then what made me realize was, like, I don't want to be seen as the president of the minorities. I want to be seen as the president
right.
of the whole school.
Right.
And for me to especially be able to on this interview and be able to sit here and say, like, yes, like, I am the president of this whole entire school 4 years later is crazy to me, because, like, that was essentially the reason I came here, to, like, develop my leadership and be able to be seen as not just being black, but I am the leader. Like, you don't have to question my
right.
race. Like, you know what I am, but you are mm-hmm. voting for me because of my leadership capability, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I ended up at Morehouse. And then I was blessed to receive a full tuition scholarship
mm-hmm.
That same year. So it was partially going where the money was, but also just thinking about what I wanted life to be, and like what I wanted to stand for, and not just have to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm the president of this small sector, and like
right.
how Cherry said, in this 20,000 plus student environment. So yeah, that was really what happened to me.
I love it. I mean, it's nothing like the HBCU experience, especially I love the small campus life and the
mm-hmm.
teachers just actually can build those lasting relationships with them. It's really nothing like it. I mean, especially, you know, it's a family reunion, really, homecoming, all of that. So election season is coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some words of advice that you all want to give to students who are running for those next positions?
I would say, don't forget why you are here. Do not forget that you are a student first. Go to your classes. It's a long road. You know, you got to stay dedicated. But breathe, honestly. You know, there's going to be days that you're gonna think about, you know, like, I don't wanna do this anymore, but you gotta understand that the reason that you jumped into it was because you want change. You want to serve the student body. But you have to be able to breathe and take a step back from time to time. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, I've seen students burn themselves out by the time they get to the debates, because, you know, they've just been boom, 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 trying to do stuff every single day, thinking that they can put on an event every single day
mm-hmm.
and still lose. I've seen people not throw events. I've seen people take it step by step, kind of breathe a little bit, relax, and I've seen them win, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's trying to find that middle ground. But honestly, like, that's probably my biggest word of advice is breathe and, you know, slow it down a little bit.
And, like, I'll echo the point of, like, what Cherry's saying as far as it's a marathon, not a sprint. But I will say, like, you have no time, especially, like, the institution that we represent, to sit there and take a breath for too long. And especially in the president's race, like, just speaking to the six young men that, like, want, if they listen to this, just speaking to the six young men that, like, want to be the next president of Morehouse College, you have to work every day during that campaign to be better than the last day. Like, every day you need to be doing something better, trying to get yourself in a better foothold so that you will not only let students see you, but students will start to gravitate towards you because you're doing the most stuff, you're being able to put it out. I remember when I was running, I mean, Cherry was right there next to me. I was literally in a mindset, in a focus, in a tunnel vision type of situation. Like, Terry knows that I was talking about my campaign all the time. Like, that was really what I was doing. It wasn't so much of a, I'm taking a breath. Like, yeah, I would breathe to eat. But it's just be kind of like, I'm running against three other people that I got to beat. It's not any type of pressure toward anybody. Like, I didn't really have any, like, hate or distaste with anybody, but I just knew, like, every day I had to beat myself to be ordered to win. Mm-hmm. So that's what I will say, and, like, I think Terry and I both realize that this election cycle is very, 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 very lackluster right now. There's not as much effort from the candidates as we want to see, but I hopefully somebody will take that next step, because, I mean, at this point in the campaign platform and realm, like, whoever takes that first step to, like, go past just being on social media, like, has the best chance of winning. Because, I mean, we've seen they've been running for about a week now.
I feel like most of everything takes place on social media.
Yeah, right now. So it's kind of like whoever takes that first step to fully engage the student body in person, will more than likely have a better chance of, like, taking the title home. I mean, just seeing from what we can tell, like, from being there, doing it a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just a matter of being you. Like, make students like you for who you are. And people will vote for people that they like. So if they like you, they'll vote for you. And just keep that why, like Cherry said, know your why, know what you're doing. But also be hungry and be aggressive with it as well.
It's interesting you said it. Speaking of social media, do you feel like now people put too much energy on social media and not enough in actual face to face?
I think you have to play into people's fear of missing out. Like, you have to play into the fact that they want to be on social media, but you have to back it up by kind of like a left and a right hook. Like, you got your right hook on social media, they see you, but making them feel you with that left hook by being in real life. So it's like, if you don't get outside just as much as you're posting on Instagram and Twitter, you're not really going to have a movement on your hands. Like, you're just going to have something for them to look at, be like, yeah, I saw it. But then are you saying that, oh yeah, he brought me donuts the next day? Like, stuff like that, like that stuff that I can recall that I did, like just things of that sort. You have to you have to appease both of the
visual elements on top of the physical elements. You know, I think Trey did an amazing job of that. He ran his entire campaign last year on Drake. So he used the Take Care cover. He used the back-to-back cover. You know, and even in his videos, kind of using, I think it was God's Plan.
I used Take Care and God's Plan in the music for the background of my video. But, like, so basically, like, touching on what Cherry's talking about, since he brought it up, my campaign slogan was Take Care of the House. So with that, I put my whole face, body on Drake's Take Care album in place of Drake, so it's me.
Okay.
And then, like, that as a visual, like, people are already seeing that. Like, they're gonna, for lack of better terms, they're gonna eat it up. Like, they're gonna literally be like, yes, like, I'm seeing it.
It flooded the streets.
Yeah, like, I'm seeing it, I like it. People are engaged, like, wow, like, how did you get yourself to be in places of Drake? And then, like, we knew that is just social media, though. Like, people are just going to, like, see that on social media. So it's like, if you're just doing it from the visual standpoint, you gotta come back just as hard on the knocking on your door. I'm giving you my literature, talking to you, seeing my face. Cause, like, if they're seeing you on social media, they're going to want to see you in person.
Right.
Cause I remember, like, just the dynamic that I had going around. It was like, oh my God, like, after I posted it, like, Trey came to my dorm and gave me donuts. So it's just like, you can't let go of the drive, because if you keep having that drive, giving that energy, people are going to be excited when they see you walk down the street. So like that's what you really want to happen. Like you want people to be unified by you in your sight, in your in the vision that you have. You want people to see you and get a breath of fresh air, for like a better term. Like you want that euphoric response when they see you. So like that is like what I'm looking for real, like giving advice to the next people. Just somebody that I feel like the campus can really get behind and not have to worry about. Also like people that I feel like I can trust, like Cherry and I can trust leaving the school in the hands of, is like really what I want to see.
Absolutely.
That's dope. Proud of you all, young man.
Thank you.
Anything else you all want to add to the interview before we go?
No, but thank you again just for the opportunity to kind of speak on this. You know, I think it's great for us to kind of, you know, I think this has allowed me to kind of really look back at our time, you know, especially with it coming to an end soon. So yeah, just thank you again.
I mean, I do want to say thank you, and like Cherry said, I can recall a interview that we did when we first got elected, like that was published in a newspaper, conversation with the elects, like we had a whole segment in the campus newspaper doing the same exact thing. Granted, it wasn't a podcast form, it was on print, but it was just like about the optimism that everybody had surrounding us and just like trying to see like what we would do, and now in doing it, it's kind of sentimental in an aspect because it's, I'm reminiscing on my election season, now we're in a new one, and it's time for us to like move on. And I think that is really what is interesting, because it's time for us to move on, and like everybody says, like even our mentors told us, Morehouse is a stepping stone to your destination, not the destination.
Right.
So like that's really all I really want to echo, because like just us graduating says a lot to students following us. It's like they did their job, they had fun, and they got out of here on time in 4 years, four and out, we're done. So like that's just the stage that we're in right now. Just thinking about everything that we're doing, looking at it and being able to look ourselves in the mirror and be like, you left Morehouse in a better place than you found it. So yeah, that's all. That's the last thing I want to leave on here. But thank you for letting us be on the page and letting us be on the podcast. Great. Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you. Great conversation with you all.
Thank you.
All right.